Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiur Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Chaftet Amud Bet. About to begin our study of the third parak of Masechet Sukkah, the very famous parak Lulav HaGazul. This chapter, as indicated by its title, deals with the rules and parameters of the four minim, Lulav, Hadas, Arava, and Etrog. It's presented in a very well-structured fashion. The first Mishnah deals with all of the parameters of Lulav, and then Hadas, then Arava, then Etrog, and then talks about the combination and how the mitzvah is fulfilled. So we will begin our study of Lulav HaGazul. Lulav HaGazul v'hayavesh pasul. So if Lulav is stolen, and we'll focus a lot of our energy in the first couple of podcasts on that topic, or if it is withered, then it is invalid. Withered because the, as outlined in Pasuk 1, the key word driving the definition of all four minim is the word hadar, beautiful. Shel asherav shel arindachat pasul, we'll see more about that in later podcasts, but if the lulav came from a tree that was planted as an asherah tree or it belonged to an iranidachat, in either case, according to halacha, it must be destroyed, it is pasul. Niktam rosho nifritzu alav pasul. If the top got cut off or the leaves fell off, then as pasul nifridu alav kasher. But if the leaves merely fanned out, still connected at the bottom, then it's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer yagdenu milamala, that you then must tie it or bind it on the top so it stays together. Tzinehar habarzel, which is another kind of a palm tree, ksherot, is also a valid tree for this. The shi'ur of lulav is, at this point, three tvachim, enough to shake it, and that's the, as kasher, we'll see that it's a little bit more than that, actually. Okay. The Gemara immediately observes, kapasik v'tane lo shna b'yom tov rishon v'lo shna b'yom tov sheni, that the ruling, lulav ha-gazul v'yavesh pasul, doesn't distinguish between the first day of Sukkot and the rest of the Chag. So one bit of background critical to point out here is that the Torah only commands us to take the four minim on the first day of Sukkot. We have a command to take the four minim in the Mikdash, as the end of the Pasuk says, Usmachtem lifnei Adonai Elohechem shivat yamim, to take it all 7 days in the Mikdash, but outside of the Mikdash there is no such obligation except for the first day. And on that first day obligation, the Torah says, Ulekachtem lachem, which means you must be the owner of the minim to fulfill the mitzvah. After the Churban Beit HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana that we should shake lulav all 7 days as zecher l'mikdash, but there is no requirement of lachem afterwards, which is what drives this whole first sugya. So now, bishlama yavesh, back to the Gemara, bishlama yavesh, I understand why yavesh is invalid all week, hadar bayinan, we require hadar v'leika, it's not beautiful. Ela gazul, stolen one, bishlam ayom tov rishon, on the first day, dichtiv lachem, mishalachem. You have to own it. And if you stole it, then it's not yours. El biyom tov sheni amaylo, but why is it no good on the second day of Yom Tov and on? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mishum dahavi le mitzvah haba'a ba'avira. Because this is what we might call ill-gotten gains. In other words, you're using an object, came to you through an avera for a mitzvah is invalid. Now, how do we know that it's invalid and not just inappropriate or less than ideal? Shenemar, we have a pasuk where Malachi, the last of the Nevi'im, chastises the Kohanim and the people at the time of the beginning of the second bayit for their lackadaisical attitude towards Korbanot. And he says, V'avitem gazuvat apizeach v'tacholet. You're bringing stolen items and lame items and sick items as korbanot. And the juxtaposition of these two, gazul dumi de piseach, teaches us, ma piseach lit letakanta, like just like a lame animal cannot be repaired, af gazul lit letakanta. Similarly, a stolen one can't be repaired, meaning, lo shtan lifnei yeush, lo shtan lachar yeush. Remember, when you steal an item, it is not yours. But after the owners give up on it, which is Yeush, and then, to clear the decks according to all authorities, if it then changes hands, at that point, Shinui Rishut, or several other kinds of changes, then it does become the property of the new owner, and then there's a debt somewhere along the line to be paid back to the one from the victim of the theft. So that giving up is called Yeush. So Loshna Lefeyush, Loshna Lachar Yeush. The Pasuk in Malachi indicates that a stolen animal is unfit for a korban in any case, no matter what happens, meaning even after Yeush. So the Torah introduces korbanot. In the beginning of Vayikra, it says if a man offers of you, meaning from you, from your own property, v'lav didehu. So you can't bring a korban which is stolen if it's lifnei yeush because it's not yours. Halacha yeush, hakanya b'yeush. But after yeush, it's yours. So why is it an invalid korban? The only conclusion we can reach is that because it's ill-gotten gains. God does not want a korban that you got illicitly, even if it technically became yours at this point. So therefore we have support, as per Rabbi Yochanan, quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that mitzvah ba'avira is really a consideration. But at this point you could ask, well, maybe it's a consideration in the world of korbanot, where the threshold is higher, therefore we have this second passage. Remember Rabbi Yochanan, Shimon ben Yochai, it's important that it's the same tradition. My dichtiv ki ani Adonai ohev mishpat sonek gazel be'ola. In Yeshayahu he says, I am Hashem who loves justice and hates theft. And be'ola here is a kind of an odd word. So it seems to be hinting towards a korban. Mashal melech vasav adam Yeshayahu ver al beit hameches. It's like a king who's passing by the customs house, which is all collections are eventually going to come to him in any case. He told his servants to pay the customs duty of his own property to the customs house. And they said, well, what's the point? It all belongs to you. What's the point of giving it to them? All passers-by will see. And they won't try to smuggle things past the mechas. They'll see even the king gives, so we have to give also. Even the king who owns this stuff is still doing the proper thing and giving it, so we'll give our obligation also. So the Nimshal Afakadosh Baruch Hu on Omer Ani Adonai Sone Gezel Ba'ola. I am Hashem who hates Gezel. Mimeni Yomadu Banai V'Vricho Tzvamina Gezel. And the notion here is that since God owns everything, what would be the problem of bringing a stolen item to God? It's His anyways. The answer is that God wants us to understand that Gezel is a wrong thing, and therefore He will not accept as a Korban anything which was gotten via Gezel. And therefore, it's easy to apply this anywhere in the world of mitzvot. God does not want us to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav with something that we got in the wrong way, even if we technically own it at this point due to yeush. And that's why our Mishnah does not distinguish between the first day and the second day. Now, Itmar Nami, I'm a Rabbi Ami. We have a statement from Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yochanan's student. So no surprise here. Yavesh pasul neshin hadar gazul pasul b'shul nami le mitzvah baba veira. So he explicates it. Upliga to Rabbi Yitzchak, but Rabbi Yitzchak had a different approach, and it wasn't really Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmani, Amar Shmuel. So this is not Rabbi Yitzchak, the Chacham Eretz Israeli, but it's Rabbi Yitzchak in Bavel, quoting Shmuel. Lo shanu ela b'yom tov rishon, that the invalidity of Gazul is only on the first day, of b'yom tov sheni, but afterwards, mitoch shiotzei b'shaul, since you are Yotze, you can fulfill the obligation of Lulav with a borrowed Lulav after the first day. And say, no, Gazul. You can also use one that's stolen, because technically, you don't need to be owning it. And therefore, by the way, it wouldn't matter if there was Yeush or not. You just have to pick up a Lulav and shake it. So, Meitir, Nachman, Yitzchak, Lulav, Gazul, Vayavesh, Pasul. So, Nachman, Shmuel, student, challenges that ruling from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah specifies Gazul Nyavesh, implying Hashaul Kasher, that a borrowed lulav is valid. Eimat, so and what could be the referent or the context of our Mishnah? Ilem Yom Tov Rishon, if you think it's the first day of Yom Tov, Haktiv Lachem, Mishal Lachem, after all you have to own it, so a borrowed one's no good. Vailav Didehu. Alav Yom Tov Sheni, it must be second day Yom Tov, meaning our Mishnah must be referring to second day Yom Tov, which by implication allows Shaul, Uktani Gazul Pasul, and still says Gazul is no good, supporting Rabbi Yochanan that it's the Gazul is a problem all week, and therefore leading us to mitzvah Baba Veirat. So Amar Rava comes to defend Shmuel. Neolam Biyom Tov Rishon. Our Mishnah is really Biyom Tov Rishon. And it's taking the position that Shaul is more obviously invalid. Lo mibaya Shaul lav didehu, a borrowed one is not yours, and therefore there's no way it could rise to the demand of Lachem. Aval gazul, emastam gzeila yeush ba'alimhu. When it comes to gazul, we would say the default is that if somebody's luv gets stolen, he immediately gives up on it, and therefore immediately it would belong to the guy who stole it, and therefore chedide dami, and therefore lachem is fulfilled, so kamash balan, that it is invalid because we don't say stam gezel yeush balim hu, at least not immediately. And therefore he says that our Mishnah is really referring to the whole week. Gezel is always a problem, and Shaul didn't, sorry, it's referring to the first day. And Shaul didn't have to even be mentioned because it's clear that Shaul can't be used the first day. We would have thought that Gezel could be used the first day because of Yeush and Kamash Balan, that it can't. Okay, Amarav Huavuna, Lahanu Havanchari. Now, it's unclear who these Havanchari are. Are they people working for the king, but they're Jewish, they're clearly Jewish from the context, and they're buying Hadassim from people who are selling them right off of the myrtle branches, and then they're selling them further on? It's a little unclear, but clearly they're Jewish people, and clearly they're both buying Hadassim to sell further, but they're also going to use them for their own mitzvah. Kizavnitu asam minochri. If you're buying Hadassim from a non-Jew, lo tigzuzu atun, don't you be the ones to cut them off the branch. Elegzazua inhu. Let them cut it, viavuluchu, and give it to you. My Tama, what's Ravuna's reason for this particular instruction? Kastam nochrim gazlani arata ninhu, because the default is that these guys are land thieves. In other words, it's very likely that the land that this stuff is growing on really belongs to a Jew, and he was growing a myrtle tree, myrtle branch, and the non-Jew did a land swipe, and pushed him off the land. But karka in an exelot, the rule is that land really can't be stolen, which means it always belongs to the Jew who owned it, and this guy's a thief. Hilkach l'gzazay inhu, let them cut it. Why? Ki hechad lehavu yeush ba'alim biyadayu didhu, so that the yeush will happen under their control. When will the yeush happen? It'll happen when you separate the branch from the land, because the land itself can't be stolen. So therefore, the yeush will happen under their watch, shinor reshut biyadayu, and then when they hand it over to you, that becomes the shinor reshut, the two steps which are needed in order to make it yours. But sof sof kigzazu avancheri, but what would be the problem if these Jewish fellows cut it? V'yeush ba'alim bi'adayu, v'shinur should be adan. After all, they would be the ones responsible for the yeush, as it were, if it really were stolen. And then, when they sell it to the end user, that would be the shinur shoot. The answer is lo tzricha b'hoshana d'avancheri gufay. We're talking about the ones that they're going to use for their own purpose, for their own mitzvah. They can have a shinui maaseh, but wait a second. When you get the when you cut it, it is a myrtle branch, and then when you bind it together in the lulav, it becomes a lulav, becomes part of the hoshana. So that would be shinui maaseh, and you'd have yeush and shinui maaseh. Shinui shoot, we don't need. So the answer is kasav lulav in soichayget. A little later in the parak, we already saw this in the first parak. We have the machloket of Yehuda Chachamim whether or not you need to bind the lulav together. So it must be that Rav Huna holds the position lulav ein tzarich eged, and therefore binding it together is not a significant act because it's unnecessary. It's nice, but it's not vital. But even if you take the position lulav tzarich eged, shinei chozel b'riatohu, that's after all a retractable change because you bind it together and then you unbind it. So that's not called a shinui. That's koneh begezel. B'shinei chozel b'riatohu lo shmei shinui. Nor b'shinui Hashem. Why don't they come to acquire it because its name changed? They originally call it a myrtle, Vahashta Hoshana, but now they call it a Hoshana because it's part of the lulav. The answer is Mikar Namilas Hoshana Karule. It's because we call it Hoshana even when it first grows, because our main thing when we see a myrtle is not to see it as a myrtle, but as part of the lulav. Okay, we'll pick it up at this point. We'll go back a little, spend a little more time dealing with the issue of Gezel, and then we'll take it to the next topic of Yavesh in the next podcast. But in the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.